As we move into the fall, we are beginning our next series, Grace, Grit, and Growth. In this series, we are going to be looking at practical ways to help you enjoy Jesus. We will be doing this by looking at seven different spiritual disciplines: solitude, fellowship, prayer, serving, stewardship, evangelism, and scripture reading. If you are interested in knowing more about Jesus, Christianity, or our community of faith at Christ Church at Grove Farm, I encourage you to reach out to us on our website, ccgf.org. Our pastors and staff would love to connect with you and assist you in your walk with Christ. Here's the message from this week. Grace and peace to you.
Hey, everyone. Good to see you this morning. So glad you're with us here at Christ Church at Grove Farm. Before we dive into this brand new series that we're calling Grace, Grit, and Growth, I want to point your attention to a resource that if you don't have it, if you're not familiar with it, I think you'd be really blessed by it. So for years, Christ Church at Grove Farm has been digging into something we know as the Life Focus New Testament. So to be clear, not an entire Bible. This is the New Testament only. We do like the Old Testament, by the way. We're not against that. But this particular devotional reading of the New Testament is divided into daily readings for 1 year at a time. You can read through the entirety of the New Testament and their little devotional thoughts. It's a great resource. We're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines. And as we do, a cornerstone, a foundational piece of spiritual discipline life is, of course, reading the scriptures. That's what we're going to talk about today. I want to point you to this. You can grab one of these today. We're going to have them available in the Minton Commons. You can take one home with you. If you don't have any cash, if you're strapped, we'd love to give it to you. No questions asked. Just say hashtag or a promo code strapped. I can't get one right now, right? And we'll give it to you for free. That's no problem. Otherwise, buy one for a friend. Buy one for a neighbor, a coworker. Give them as gifts for Christmas. You get your Christmas shopping done today while you're here, early on in the season. But this is a great resource to have. If you don't have a copy, if you personally don't have one, grab one. I think it would be really amazing to see many people in our congregation reading through this. In fact, maybe we'll make a push on January 1 for everyone to dive into this together, Life Focus New Testament. Wanted to point your eyes toward that as we begin this series. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the creed. Thank you for the time of prayer. Thank you also, Lord, of course, for your word. And as we do begin this series and we talk about spiritual disciplines, I pray, Lord, that we would reframe by your grace, by your spirit, how we think about spiritual disciplines. I pray, Lord, that we would see particularly Bible reading as an opportunity, as a means of enjoying you and growing in grace, receiving your grace. Do that for us today, Lord. Meet us in this moment. We ask that you would speak to us by your word, by the power of your spirit. And I pray, God, you would change our minds. You change our hearts. We give you this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I will tell you, I really appreciate the opportunity to preach. You know, as any pastor, I'm sure Jeremiah would say the same thing. Anytime we have an opportunity to proclaim God's word, that's a big, big deal. And I'm really grateful and humbled and honored, and I've considered a privilege to share God's word. I really enjoy it. And it's not just because, like, oh, it's fun to do this. No, it's because it's so important to the way God has constructed and designed the church. We believe that preaching and the proclamation of God's word is at the center of what we do here. We set aside the biggest chunk of our time on Sunday mornings when we gather to preach and teach God's word. It's the same thing in our student ministry. It's the same thing, I think, for the most part, and David, would you say, in our college and career ministry? Yes, word of God, right? It's the same thing in our children's ministry. We always are focused on the word of God. We believe that it's something that's above everything else. It's all important, but the word of God holds a very special place. Several of you know that my wife and I had the great opportunity to go to Europe, and we were studying and looking at the life of Martin Luther, the great reformer. I'll tell you more about that in weeks to come. But one of the things we had an opportunity to go is go to one of these Reformation churches, a church that's hundreds and hundreds of years old. And we actually went to a place where Martin Luther preached, and it was really neat. The pulpit where Luther preached from is elevated above everything else. So you have the pews, you have, you know, a regular kind of church, but the place where the preacher stood, where Luther stood, elevated above everything else. It wasn't because his ego was so great that he had to be above everyone and look down on them, peer down his nose. It was because it was speaking to the prominence of God's word. That God's word is more important than anything else, you see? And I want to talk about today that idea that God's word is more important than anything else. But first, let me tell you this. The fact of the matter is, though I love preaching and though, you know, I would tell you I love God's word, the fact of the matter is, preparing for a message every week is a battle. It's not a struggle. That would be a negative connotation. It's a battle. It's a battle. To prepare a message properly, 15 to 20 hours a week, that's what it takes to do that. I'm looking for a pity party, by the way. It takes, though, that amount of time, that amount of effort, that kind of discipline and dedication. And, you know, it's a battle because I'm a human. And I've got a calendar full of meetings, just like you. And then there's church programs that are happening all the time. That takes up time as well. It's a good thing. There are weddings, invariably, and there are funerals. And then, you know, there's just like the struggle. Sometimes you find God's word so challenging that it's like, it makes you almost tired physically, right? Because it's like, man, this is a grind, and I'm trying to understand it, and how do I communicate this? And so sometimes you just kind of want to like hide from it because it's really tough. And then, fact of the matter is this, sometimes I'm just lazy. That's why I watch TV. I'm a human being, right? Just like you. And so it's a battle, despite the fact that I love it. Now, here's why I'm saying this to you. Though most of you probably don't preach very often, or even have a teaching environment where you're teaching God's word, I know this about you. You also struggle, many of you, most of you, to read God's word. It's a grind. It's a battle. You know, the stats tell me that 80% of you, 80% of everyone in America is Bible disengaged, not engaged with the scriptures regularly. In fact, if you're a male, 85% of you are struggling to be engaged with the scripture. That's just the fact of the matter. It's the way it is. And, you know, it's the same reasons as I have. You're overprogrammed. Maybe you find the scriptures to be overwhelming. It could be that you're bored by it, or maybe you're just undisciplined. Maybe there's a little bit of laziness that creeps in there too for you. That's just the reality of what it is. And as we dive into this series about spiritual disciplines, this is all very pertinent. But I hope that through this series, you will have a different way of thinking about spiritual disciplines, a different way of looking at them. You see, we think about spiritual disciplines in kind of a, I think, negative way. That feels like an unexciting prospect. In fact, some of you are like, oh, a series on spiritual disciplines. Why don't you just call it Brussels sprouts? Spiritual disciplines, right? It doesn't feel very good. It's not very exciting. But there's a different way to understand this. This is important for the whole series, okay? Spiritual disciplines are a practical way to help us enjoy Jesus. That's what a spiritual discipline is. It's not Brussels sprouts. It's not something to make you feel guilty. It's not something to hang over your head. No, actually, it's something to set you free. A spiritual discipline, such as prayer or reading the scriptures or fellowship, you can keep on the list, right? These are opportunities for us to enjoy Jesus. That's really important, all this. And I hope that, again, your mind will be reframed as you think about the spiritual disciplines. The thing about spiritual disciplines is this enjoyment is that you don't earn the enjoyment. It's not something that you somehow get like as a reward, like a biscuit at the end of the time, right? With my kids, we used to do this all the time when they were little. You know how it is, right? You do the thing we ask, you clean your room, and we'll give you 2 M&Ms, kids, right? We'll splurge. That used to work when they were little. You do that kind of thing. This reward, right? This system of it's Pavlovian, right? This deal that you do it, and we'll give you the reward. positive reinforcement. That's not the way the spiritual disciplines work. You don't earn the enjoyment. No, you receive it. We receive the joy of knowing the Lord through this conduit of the spiritual disciplines. I hope that you'll kind of think about this and consider the reality of it. Spiritual disciplines can be a means of grace to you. A means of knowing God's grace, receiving God's grace. Don't you want more of that in your life? Like when you feel like you're just dried up, that you're weary from the road of life, that you're anxious and worried or in despair, listen, turn to the Lord, and spiritual disciplines are a means, they're a conduit for you to receive the grace of God afresh. It's an opportunity to enjoy the Lord. The grace of God is way beyond our ability. It's beyond your ability. It's beyond my ability. We can't manufacture the grace of God. I'm not suggesting that at all. But spiritual disciplines, prayer, reading the scriptures, fellowship, we're going to keep talking about these. They ready us to receive God's grace in our lives. Now, I want to be clear about something here. I am not talking about material blessing. Don't read into that. Don't take that spiritual disciplines somehow, you know, respond or they end up being a material blessing. This isn't prosperity gospel. This isn't health and wealth that we're preaching here. Not at all. But the spiritual disciplines, they are a means to fill our tank with grace so that we can bless the world around us, so that we can glorify God. That's what we're in this for. So here's my prayer as we begin this series, Growth, Grace, or Growth, Grit, and Grace. I'm going to get that wrong every time. My prayer is this, that God would reframe how we think about spiritual disciplines. And today, specifically, my prayer is this, and I already prayed it, and I'm praying it even now as we stand here, that God would show you, that you'd show us, how reading the scriptures are a means for us to enjoy Jesus and to receive his grace anew. Do you want that in your life? Let's get into it. I think you do. You didn't say yes, but I'm assuming you do. So let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, I'm going to give you kind of a collage of scriptures today. They're going to point to this. You probably want to write down some notes and jot down these verses. You can go back to them and kind of see the whole picture together. So let's look at what Jeremiah has already read to us, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The scripture says this, All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The whole of the scripture, here's what the scripture is saying. The whole, the entirety of the Bible, the whole of scripture is for the whole church, for the entirety of God's people. And here's the concept. Here's the concept of the Bible that's staggering and profound. The concept is that God speaks to us. God talks to us through the Bible. Now, I know that you've probably heard that before. Even if, like, church is brand new to you, you've probably heard, okay, yeah, God speaks to the Bible, but I know this. I don't think I perceive that fully, and I'm sure you're in the boat with me too, but really consider this. We have here, through the scriptures, the living word of God, we have God speaking to us. I know so many people who would say, oh, I wish God would just give me an answer. I wish I knew what God was thinking. I wish God would talk about this. Well, he speaks to us. And it's incredible the degree to which life is addressed through an ancient text, through the Holy Bible. And so listen, the concept is that God speaks to us. The Bible is for us. You know, this is interesting. This letter right here, 2 Timothy, it was written by the Apostle Paul for a young man named Timothy. Here's one of the things you've probably heard me say before. Not all Scripture is written to us. This is a good example. Not all Scripture is written to us. This Scripture was written by Paul to Timothy. But yet, all Scripture is written for us. So even though we weren't the original, intended audience, we are the audience. And we can apply all the Scriptures to our lives today. It is God speaking to us. So this past week, we had a really cool experience with our staff. And I just got to say, we've been blessed with a great staff here for a long time. We're in a new season with our staff, and we have a fantastic and awesome staff. I'm not just saying this. I'm so excited about the team that God has called together here at Christ Church. And I hope you get to know them more and more. Just an awesome team. Well, we had a time to be together. And one of the things we did, and it actually was only like for about an hour, we spent some time just getting to know each other. And we did this through a series of questions. We would sit down with each other and ask questions of one another. This sounds really weird, but we did this. This is what you do when you're on a church staff. We asked questions of one another, and we learned so many amazing things. I mean, I've been here for 3 years, and I learned so much through these questions and answers. For instance, did you know that Brooke Swinston, who is our operations director, once was attacked by a stork? Isn't that amazing? If you know Brooke, you'd say, of course he was attacked by a stork in Asia. That's what Brooke would do. This one was revelatory to me. David Sad, who I've referenced already in this sermon, David Sad, when he was a teenager, went to a party of a kid in his class, and he carried away one of the kid's records. Isn't that amazing? I just outed David in front of the entire church. I love this. He was a thief, even as a high school kid. Sorry, David, about that. He's repented. It's all good. He returned the record. It's good. I learned amazing things. We learned that Debbie Huffmeyer and Travis Rogan, they're cousins. When we were asked these questions, we learned this. And we also learned a lot of things about our spiritual walk and our life in Christ. It was really amazing. Now here's my point. Unless you hear a person speak, unless you sit down with them and you hear from them, you won't know the character of that person. It took for us having this interaction, this dedicated time, this intentional time, for us to truly get to know each other on a deeper level. And it was a really, really good thing. We all walked away from that hour and a half, and said, wow, that was really cool. Made me laugh, got to know this person a little better, understand where they're coming from. It was really good. Do you see where I'm going with this? In the same way, God's Word speaks to us. And unless you hear God speak, you won't know Him. And so the Bible, the concept here is this: God speaks to us. And what does He speak to us about? He speaks to us about His grace. If you need a fresh dose of God's grace, man, you'll get it in the Scriptures. In fact, the means of God's ongoing grace to us through His Spirit, through God's Spirit, is His Word. As you read the Scriptures, you'll find what you need. And what you'll walk away with is, there's hope for me. There is peace for me. I have a future. God knows where this world is headed, even though I don't. Right? This is a means of God's grace through Christ to us. This is for the church. This is for the Christian, for you. And God talks to us. God speaks to us through His Word. It's powerful. And so what I'm putting before you is, look, I want you to reframe how you think about spiritual disciplines. It's not just an exercise. It's not a guilt trip. It's not something to hang over your head or to be considered drudgery. No, it's actually life to you. And what you will find is that God speaks to you. Let me take you to another text. Look at Romans with me. Let's look at Romans, and we're going to look at Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. Now, I'm going to read Romans 15, 4, actually from the ESV. I'm doing this intentionally, a different translation, because I know that there are many translations represented in the audience today. We typically read from the NIV here. I'm going to read from the ESV, another great translation. There are lots of great translations. I like the New King James Version. I like the NLT. There's lots of great ones, right? Let me read to you Romans 15, 4 from the ESV, and it says this: For whatever was written in former days, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's what the scripture says. All this was written for you. And there are a couple words that pop out to me. The word instruction. The word endurance. And this to me speaks to the grit part of the equation. We're calling this series Grace, Grit, and Growth. I got it right. Well, this is the grit part. You know what grit is? Grit is passion and perseverance. It's passion and perseverance meeting to reach a goal. That's what grit is. It's one of the things I love about Pittsburgh, by the way. People from Pittsburgh tend to have grit. There's a grittiness to the Pittsburgher. A passion, a sense of perseverance, moving towards a goal. That's just who we are. That's who Pittsburghers are. And listen, the idea is about this instruction, the endurance, that we have to discipline ourselves for growth. It's a reality. If we're going to talk about the spiritual disciplines, we can't ignore the discipline part of the equation. We have to discipline ourselves for growth. It's just a fact of the matter. This is the way it works. So you might jot this down. In order to grow, you have to take regular action to get more of God into your head, into your heart. You have to take action. You have to do something in order to receive God's grace through the disciplines. And this is where some people get tripped up. Because you're like, yep, that's exactly it. Take regular action. I don't do that. This is where I break down. This is where I struggle. There's hope for you. Look at Colossians 1. Look at Colossians 1, verse 29. This has been an important little section of scripture for me personally during the past couple of years. If you're sitting here saying, man, I don't have the grit part of this down. I don't take regular action. I don't discipline myself, and maybe that's why I feel like I'm not growing. Listen to this. This is how this works. Paul says, to this end, when he's talking about all the things he's giving himself to in ministry, he says, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Where does the source for this discipline come from? Where does the source of this grit come from? It doesn't come from you. Paul didn't say, you know, with all the strength that I have. He says, no, I contend with all the energy Christ powerfully works in me. If you're saying, man, I'm struggling with the grit part, I just don't have it, I think you have more than what you know. And by the way, all you've got to have, I believe, is a little bit of grit. Just enough grit. Let me show you something here. Bring this out here, please. Give a round of applause for my man, Ed Shuley, who's going to bring out this lovely fountain for us. Wow, Ed, they really didn't appreciate you. Let's try again. Give a round of applause for Ed Shuley, please. Enthusiastic. There we go. One of those great staff people I was talking about. So listen, it's kind of like this. You know, if you're struggling with the idea of grit, it's a little bit like this water source. By the way, this is real water. See that, Chuck? That's real water there, okay? So there's water coming out of this. You might say, well, how does this work? It reminds me a little bit of how the spiritual disciplines work. Let me explain, okay? This water has to be turned on, obviously. Well, in the same way, there is a responsibility. Here's where the grit comes in. You have to turn the faucet on, so to speak. In other words, you've got to open the Bible. You've got to set time aside in your calendar. You've got to put the distractions out of the way. You got to show this much grit, this much determination, this much discipline in order to receive God's grace through the spiritual disciplines, whether it's prayer or fellowship. You got to show it. You got to turn it on. You see what I'm saying? You got to turn it on. But here's the brilliant part of this, right? The thing that's amazing that God's done. The water source, the flow of water, doesn't come from you. I mean, you turn the faucet on, but where does the source of water come from? Not from you. It comes from another place, right? It's coming from somewhere else. And this is what God does. When you open the scriptures, just open it up. Just that much grit. Let me set time apart to open it up. It's like turning the faucet on. Here comes the water. It flows. You don't create the source of water. All you do is turn on the faucet. It's like this. You turn on the light switch. Do you provide the electricity? No, it comes from another source. You turn on the switch. You plant the seed in the ground. Do you make it? Do you cause it to grow? No, the scriptures tell us actually God creates that increase. He brings the growth. You see, your part is to turn it on. And I think turning it on is actually as simple as let me dedicate time to opening up God's word and actually reading it. And what you'll find is there will be some water. There's going to be a stream that's going to come about when you do that. Do you see this? Now, here's the thing, though. So many of us have it turned off. We have it turned off. And if it's not opened, if the switch isn't flipped, then you're not going to receive what God has for you. You get this? So listen, I pray that you will turn it on. You will turn it on. And when you turn it on, here's what you're going to find. God's grace flows. And God provides all that. You don't have to provide all that. God will provide that through his word for you. That is what he does. He brings the supply. You know, I referenced the trip we just came back from. And we were there, and we were again studying the life of Martin Luther. And we went to an Augustinian monastery in Erfurt, which is a town, ancient town in Germany. And this Augustinian monastery was a place where Luther, as a young man, checked himself in. He said, yes, I want to follow the call of God in my life. And he went to be a monk. That's how he understood his calling at first. We'll talk more about this in some capacity at some point. And so life in that monastery was very interesting. I have a picture of the monastery, actually. Show them that picture. This place is beautiful. 1,000 years old, of course. It's in Europe, right? And that chapel there was built from the stones of other churches. So they took and recycled, basically, all the stonework from other churches and made that particular Augustinian monastery. And that place was a place where Luther went as a young man, again, to follow the call of God. Now, as an Augustinian monk, his deal was prayer. And they committed themselves to praying 7 times a day. Talk about spiritual discipline, 7 times a day. And they, of course, you know, took a vow of silence, and they worked in certain capacities around the monastery. They went so far as when they ate their meals, they would sit on the same side of the table so you wouldn't be looking across the table to another person and tempted to talk. They didn't give them chairs. They stood around the table. This life, by the way, is not for me. I don't know about you. I don't want anything to do with this life. But this was the life that Luther was in. Now, the interesting thing was this. In this monastery, there was in those times, there was a single water source. There was a pump in the courtyard where they could go and get water. I have a picture. I took a picture of the pump, okay? There's the ancient pump that's not working anymore. But that is where Luther and his guys would go to get water whenever they needed water, for whatever purpose they needed water for. One source of water. Here's where I'm going with this, okay? Some of us are living life like all we have is a single source of water. You show up here at church, and you hear someone preach like me up here, or you sing worship songs on Sunday, or you experience a little bit of fellowship here, and then you leave and you live like you live in a house that doesn't have any running water. It's like you're living a life where you don't have a source of water on your own. Let me tell you, you have a source. You have a source, and the one I want to point you today particularly is the Word of God. Will you turn it on? Will you open it up? A closed book is, it's been said, a closed book is nothing but a block of wood unless you open it up. You've got to open it up. And when you open it up, you will find the living streams of water flow. They flow. That's what God's word does. You will receive God's grace. Let me hit you with a couple just like quick things here, okay? Make this a little more practical. And by the way, I just want to say this. I'm stressing the personal part of studying God's scripture and opening it up, and that's important. But I will say this. Bible study can be incredibly important. Being a part of a group of people who study God's word, that's a big deal. When I was a young man, when I was in my 20s, I was weird, but there was a part of my life where I was a part of a Bible study every single day of the week. Wasn't for a long time, but there was a couple months there where like literally every day I was part of a men's group, I was a part of a youth group that I was leading a study on, I was a part of a church group that was going on. I was a part of all these different Bible studies. Because I wanted to be in God's word. I'm really grateful for that time. I learned a lot. That was a great time for me. Maybe you need to join a Bible study. Maybe you need to start a Bible study. I was just talking to a guy this week who in his neighborhood started a Bible study, okay, for the neighbors. And they've been doing this for a number of years. People come over, they're looking at the book of Revelation together, and they study God's word. None of the people in their neighborhood group are part of Christ Church. They're all different churches, but they get together and they study God's word. That could be a way that you turn the faucet on. Get in a Bible study with someone. Here's a couple really practical things I want to say to you. The first one probably doesn't feel that practical, but here it is. Okay, Bible reading is an art. I can't stress this enough. Bible reading is an art. When I was in college, somehow I got coerced into taking ballroom dancing lessons. Do I look like a ballroom dancer to you? Okay, so I took these ballroom dancing lessons. It was a fine experience. It was fun. You know, you learn the tango, you learn the cha-cha, you know, you learn the marimba. I don't know if that's one of them, but you learn all these dances, right? And I can remember doing this, and I remember that as long as the instructor was there counting out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, I did okay. I could waltz if that was the case. But as soon as, like, that was off the table, the instructor wasn't counting it out for us anymore, and we just had to, like, freely dance, I was lost. And I lost track of the steps, and I was stepping on my partner's feet and all those kind of things. It wasn't pretty. And here's what I learned from that. The best way to become a ballroom dancer is to actually get on the dance floor. You got to practice it. And here's what I would say about the same thing with God's word. You want to know the art of reading God's word? Well, read the scriptures. And not just for a couple of days, not just for a couple of weeks, but month after month, year after year, you stack this up, and here's what you will grow to be adept in. You will grow to be adept in the art of reading the scriptures. And there's a particular aspect of the art of reading the Bible that I want to point you to. And that is this, the art of finding Jesus in the scriptures. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that, of course, the physical appearance of Christ is not in there. We don't see the word Jesus, the name Jesus in there. Well, of course, because Jesus came at a certain point in history as a man. He's always existed. But he came to earth in Bethlehem, right? But what you will learn to do as you get into the art of reading the Bible, you will begin to find Jesus even where you don't read his name. You will find Jesus and you'll grow in the gospel. Jesus himself talks about this. Look at the book of Luke. Luke 24. Look at Luke 24, 27. Here's what it says about Jesus. This is when Jesus is resurrected, walking on the road with the disciples, and he's talking to them. They don't realize it's him. And it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." When you learn the art of reading the Bible, you will find Jesus. Look what it continues to say in Luke 24, 44, and 45. Jesus speaks up and he says to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." In other words, I'm in this whole thing. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. My prayer for you is that God will open your mind so you can know the art of reading the Bibles. The Bible, that you will see Jesus, you will find him in this. So I pray you will discover the art of reading the Bible, okay? And I pray that specifically with that, you'll discover the art of meditation. The art of meditation. You're like, come on, what you talking about, Craig? You going New Age on me here? No, meditation is not something that belongs to the New Agers. It belongs to Christianity first and foremost. Here's a definition of meditation. Deep thinking. On the truths and spiritual realities revealed in the scriptures for the purposes of understanding, application, and prayer. It's deep thinking. It's deep thinking on the things of God. Look at Colossians again. Colossians 3:16. Yes. The scripture says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another." Listen, let the word of God, let the word of Christ, the gospel, dwell in you richly. There's a meditating on it, thinking deeply about the truth from God's heart, his words to us, chewing on it, letting it roll around in your head and letting it change you, allowing it to do its work and to change you from the inside out. Look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 talks about this meditation. "Keep the book of the law always on your lips, Meditate it. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you'll be prosperous and successful. You see, there's this idea of letting it roll around in your head, chewing on the word of God that's really important to us. You know, Bible reading does not simply entail memorizing principles, learning principles. No, it's about learning a person. Remember, God speaks to us through his word. Reading the Bible, this idea, this spiritual discipline, it's about learning a person. It's about a relationship. And so here's what you might do. Read a few minutes before you go to bed. Along with that, read a little bit in the morning. Hey, when you're brushing your teeth, or when you're driving in the car, listen to the Bible. I love that. That's one of my favorite things. Listening to the Bible, you can do it for free. YouVersion app. I love listening to the Word of God read over me. It's one of my favorite parts of my morning. Listen to the Word of God. You can do all kinds of ways. You can be creative of thinking about how you can stop and read the Scriptures throughout the day. In my best weeks, when I'm preparing for a message like this, here's what you'll see. When you come in my office, you'll see the Bible open. And that's a sign that whenever I have a few minutes between meetings, I'm looking at the Scriptures again and allowing 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 to really infiltrate my mind. You consider the way. You could do that same thing. And so I would pray that you would discover the art of meditation. I also pray that you will discover the art of memorization. If Bible reading is an art, there's an art to meditation. There's also an art of memorization. And memorization is not just some rote exercise. Memorization, get this, is listening to and learning the voice of our Heavenly Father. That's what memorization is. I've met some of you, and I've heard you say things like, oh, my dad always used to say, if you're not early, you're late, right? You got some of those things rolling around your head that your dad or your mom or your grandma used to always say. In the same way, the Scripture should be on your lips like that too. Well, my Heavenly Father always says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me, right? You got that on your mind. It's there for you. That's what Bible memorization is, having the words of your Father, having them in your mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we, this is mind-blowing, we have the mind of Christ. As you memorize the Scriptures, we grow increasingly to have the mind of Jesus. We're conformed to his image. And so here's what I would hope you would do. Learn the gospel. As you memorize Scripture, there's a learning, there's a dwelling, there's a meditating on the gospel that takes place. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Doesn't this reframe how you think about reading the Scriptures? It's life-giving. I'll tell you something you could do. You make this super practical. Look at this slide here. We've put together 7 Bible verses. Rather than giving you one Bible verse to memorize, let me give you 7 for this series. And these 7 Bible verses will teach you the gospel. In fact, someone could read these 7 Scriptures and meditate on them, and they could become a Christian just by learning and considering these 7 Scriptures. These would be great ones for all of us to memorize. We have 7 weeks in this series. You can do it 1 a week. You could try to learn them all at one time. You could take a little of your camera. You know what to do with that. You know, get the QR code, get to the link. Learn those Scriptures. Memorization is an art, and I would suggest you get into it. Okay, I've got to wrap this up. Listen, I want to close by giving you an example. You know, what does it look like? If enjoying Jesus is really at the heart of these spiritual disciplines, if they're a conduit to receiving God's grace, what's that look like? Well, I had the opportunity for a couple of weeks to be with John and Kathy Guest. Lisa and I really enjoyed being with the Guest, and it was, you know, a thrill to spend some time with them, and particularly as a pastor here at Christ Church, to be with John and to be around him and, you know, consider how God has used him at Christ Church and get some of that DNA maybe into myself and into our family was great. So I'm really thankful for that time. And I learned some things being with John. By the way, here's a picture of John and me. We are standing in front. See that thatched roof building behind my big head there? That is the preschool where John Guest went to in England. Isn't that great? Only John Guest would have gone to preschool in a thatched hut, right? That's where he went to preschool, but that's where John went. He's saying something funny there. That's why we look like that. It was great being with him. And one of the things that I think I took away from being with John on this trip is that John truly is a guy for years and years who's enjoyed being with Jesus. You know, if you know John and Kathy, you've heard them say something like this invariably in their conversations with them. They'll say, oh, we were just reading today in the Life Focus New Testament this morning, dot, 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 dot. And they'll share something with you from God's Word. And then they'll usually follow up by saying, and we were praying for you. And they really were. John and Kathy linger on God's Word. They're really into it. And here's the result of all that. You see it come out of them. They're people who have been with Jesus. There's a joy in living. There's a purpose. It's touched our lives. It's touched the life of this church. It's touched the lives of many, many people beyond this church. God has used that because the more you enjoy Jesus, the more you enjoy Him, the more that you will impact the world around you because of this. That's what happened in John's life. Jesus is that real to him because he's engaged in spiritual disciplines like reading God's Word. Spiritual disciplines, I'll say it again, are practical ways for you and I to enjoy Jesus. That's what they are. And the goal of life, as the Westminster Catechism has told us, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And you might say, well, I want to grow spiritually. That's good. That's good. And that's a byproduct. But chief, the first thing is this. We spend time with God. We engage in spiritual disciplines to enjoy God and glorify Him in our lives. That's like the place where I want to be. That's the place where I think I see John. Don't you want to be in that place too? You know, I think it's a beautiful endeavor to have that mindset towards life, to show that Jesus is more glorious, is better than anyone or anything in this world. Wouldn't it be great if we were known for that? But I'll tell you this on the same hand. Those who love this world more than Jesus will never show that Jesus is more glorious or He's better than anything in this world, because we'll only show that this world is better. We can only glorify this world if we love this world more. There's a challenge in here for us. And so my hope is this. As we dive into this idea of grace and grit and growing, that we'll all grow to enjoy Jesus. And if you feel like, as you sit here, you think, man, I'm not there. I'm struggling with this. I have a hard time enjoying God, enjoying Jesus. If that's you, well, there's an opportunity right here today. In fact, as we close this service, there's an opportunity for you to come before God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've made other things more important to you. I'm sorry I've gone through the motions. I'm sorry that I sing songs, so to speak, in vain. God, I just want you. In fact, I asked our worship team, who's going to be coming on here in a moment, to lead us in a song that I think is totally appropriate. And it's this idea that Jesus is more enjoyable than anything this world has to offer. And that's the thing we really need. It's the thing we really want. So this song that we're going to sing is an opportunity for you to confess, to pray, and say, God, I just want you. And I'll do this just to set it up for you. I'm going to sing it over you. I'm going to sing this as a prayer to close this sermon. And I'm not doing this to get a critique from you on my voice or anything like that. I want to sing this over you as a prayer because this is where I am. And as we begin this series, I want to be a person who just wants Jesus. The song goes like this. It says, I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. No, I'm not here for blessings. Oh, Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you. And nothing else. And nothing else. Well, nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else. And nothing else. Well, nothing else will do. I just want you. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to have a desire to know you. Help us to sit at your feet. Help us, Lord, to enjoy your presence more than anything else. Help us, God, to get caught up in your presence. God, we're sorry for the times when we've gone through the motions, where we've sung songs in vain. Oh, God, thank you for Jesus. I pray that each of us would learn to enjoy your presence, receive your grace as we read your word, and we spend time in your presence. We ask this all in Jesus' name.